Hello, this is Troy Cash. Welcome to the April edition of Senior Connect, the monthly podcast of the Seniors Ministry at First Press Columbia. Today, I'm privileged to be joined by Emma Lafitte. But before our conversation, a few announcements. As can be seen in the Seniors Ministry Messenger, April 6th, we have the Seniors Ministry Session Committee meeting. April 10th, we have the next Encouragers Breakfast. This has been pushed back due to the first week of April being Holy Week and Resurrection Day. It will meet at the regular scheduled time in Jackson Hall with a cost of $5. April 13th is the next Encouragers Steering Committee. They meet at 12 p.m. Friday, April 16th is the next Lifelong Learning Seminar on Medicare. This talk will be led by Crystal Strong. It will be held from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. There's no cost, but they do ask that you RSVP online. On April 21st, the Barnabas Ministry Prayer and Note Writing Meeting will meet at 1 p.m. in the Women of the Church Room, located in the bridge. April 22nd, we have the Encouragers April in Paris Luncheon. Again, no cost here, but they do ask that you RSVP, and they'll be meeting in Jackson Hall. And April 26th, we have the CIA Steering Committee meeting. Both of the Senior Connect Day seminars recently have been recorded and can be made available at request. The titles of those are Our Beautiful Inheritance, the Past and Present Blessings of the ARP Denomination, and the other being Staying Safely Connected, Being the Body of Christ During Quarantine. If anyone missed it, Dr. Mark Ross also spoke on Our Timeless Means of Grace, and those can be made available as well. And now, my conversation with Ms. Emma Lafitte. So, Ms. Emma, how are you today?
Well, I am fine. I really am. I'm better than I have been. Because I had the COVID the first week in January.
Oh, no.
And we have a caretaker who stays with us pretty much all the time, but one of them ran a fever and was tested positive. So they shut that section down, and Tucker and I both were tested, and I was positive with no symptoms, and Tucker was negative. And so we were quarantined in this house, and the children brought us food, and we had somebody to stay with us at night. But basically, he went through two tests as negative, and all I had was extreme fatigue. So I was lucky with that, and the children brought food, left it on the doorstep, and what have you. So we got through that.
Praise the Lord that you got through it, and Tuck never tested
never
positive.
Never had it. I know. And so now he has had both of his vaccines, and I'm having mine next month because the doctor's office said I had to wait something like 80 days after you've had it. I don't understand what it is, but so I'm going in April 8th, I think it is. So I'll finish mine in April.
Wow. Well, I'm glad that you all have been able to get those.
Well, right. We're doing good now. Well, so
I'm glad to hear that. So I assume because of those things, have you all been able to make it in person, or have you been with us from home?
From home. We have not been to the church since last year. And Tucker is 91 years old and a kind of wobbly leg. And the best he can do is go in that side door at the front part of the church and sit, for a while. But we watch it on the iPad every Sunday.
Yeah.
And that is a wonderful, wonderful thing to be able to see it and hear it and keep up with things. So that's our church.
Yes. Well, I'm so glad that we're able to do it, too. But I do know that I've heard from several people they miss seeing you all here. So we're looking forward to the day that we get to join you in person again, but hopefully.
I know it. And Tucker's beginning to say that he wants to go back to church. I don't want to say too much about his personal situation, but everybody knows that he had a stroke several years ago, and his hearing is impaired. He wears hearing aids, and it affected his vision a little bit. Plus, his attention span, he has to be right close to somebody where he can hear them really well. And so it's hard for him to sit through an hour service.
Yeah.
But he wants to be there is a thing. You know, he really wants to be there.
Yeah.
So we'll work it out.
Right.
Even if we have to move him around when we're there, you know.
And hopefully we can come and be around you all as much as possible, as safely as possible also.
Yeah, and I'll throw this in, too, that before COVID, David Lawton brought communion to us twice, at least twice, maybe more, with an elder. And so we sat in our den and had that very personal communion service, which was so good.
That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that brings me to a question. How long, I know that from some of the prior conversations I've had with you and with some of the other folks at the church, that your family's got a rich history at the church. If you wouldn't mind, would you mind sharing how long you have been a member and Mr. Tuck as well?
Okay. Well, I can speak a lot better on the McElveen side because they're Columbia people, and my first husband, Powell, was born and raised in Columbia and grew up from day one at First Pres, and as did the rest of his brothers and sisters. Now, I was not, I was an Episcopalian. My daddy was a medical missionary to the Philippines, and so I was born in the Philippines, and he delivered me there. But he had a heart condition. And so, you know, back in those days, which was, I'm 86, so it was that long ago. You used to go, they used to go for 5 years and come home. This is the way it was in the Episcopal Church, at least. You come home for a year and kind of travel around talking about what you've done, recruiting things. And so they would not allow him to go back, with a heart condition. So we stayed in Columbia. From then on, he was a physician at the State Park, which is a TB hospital, which had regular hours for him and much easier on him. He died when I was in high school, but I did come into town to Columbia High, and that's how I met Powers. And so we were married at the Episcopal Church, St. John's Episcopal. First, he was in the service, so we went to Virginia for a while and then Mississippi and in different places when he was trying to find a really good job. That was in the 50s, hard to find a really good job. Got a good job in Sumter, which is back home to South Carolina. And so we lived there for 6 years. But when we were in Sumter, he said, "Now, when we get back to Columbia, we are going to First Pres, because that's the church I grew up in." And I had taken him to a lot of Episcopal churches. You know, I was trying. And the funny story is that my uncle came to visit us in Sumter because Powers always came home for lunch. And so he came and had lunch with us. And when Powers went back to work, I said, and Uncle Gribbs was a bishop. He's retired. And the Episcopal church. I said, "Uncle Gribbs, what am I going to do with Powers? I can't get him interested in the Episcopal church." And he said, "Well, does he like the Presbyterian church?" I said, "Like it. He loves it." And Uncle Gribbs leaned forward and he shook his finger at me and said, "Well, daughter, you must join his church."
Well, that's a wise man.
Yeah, and he said, "But when you join it, you must go to work in it because you will grow to love any church that you work in." I remembered that because I think that's true. I think most of your people who are really on the periphery of the work of the church, they don't see what all is going on. And I think that's what he meant, because I really did. I joined that Sunday and in Sumter, I joined it, but we moved pretty soon back to Columbia in 1965. Figured that one out, how long ago that was. And my children were little, so I was involved with them in Bible school. I did do a little bit of Sunday school teaching, but that wasn't exactly my gift. Then I got onto mission work, had a heart for missions, and was on the board for the Women's Church with missions for a long time, and I loved that. And went on, progressed to where I was president of the Women's Church, and got a life membership, which I was absolutely thrilled with because. I just loved all that work with the women. See, that was fun.
I'm sure.
But, yeah. And so that was a good time for me. I liked that. And I want to tell you another funny story. We had Christmas shoeboxes were a little bit different back in those days in that you would go and pick up. Well, you still pick up your box in the atrium, you know, and fix it yourself.
Uh-huh.
But what I did, I got several boxes and gave them to some of my friends who were not members of the church.
Uh-huh.
And asked them if they'd like to do it, and they wanted to do it. And so then I had a date set out that they would all come to my house. This actually was after Powers died, and I had more time on my hands. But we would bring our boxes to my house, and we'd spread stuff around the dining room table because everybody would choose their age child mm-hmm. and buy the nice gift and whatever it is it tells you to do. But just filling it up with stuff that you get at the dollar store, you buy a bag full of stuff and don't use it but for one box. So we would put all that on the dining room table and go around and finish filling up the box with everybody's stuff, see? And it was a fun thing for everybody to do. And I remember one of my neighbors, she bought a Timex watch.
Oh, wow.
She wanted a member by a church. But anyway, that was fun. We did that several years.
Oh, goodness.
That was a fun thing to do.
That sounds like a fun time. You not only got to put together fun gifts, but be together and enjoy each other's company while you did it.
I know it. And the other thing that we did, I was loved taking those pillars that the women of the church make, the Heart and Hand Fellowship makes pillars. They make pillars.
Yeah.
They put them in packages by pairs, two to a bag. There's a prayer inside, and then you take them to the people who need a pillow. Sick people, or and what I liked so much about it was that I could take it to a friend who had some surgery that was not necessarily a member of the church, and so this is the women of the church make these pillows and want you to have this, you know. And I mean, to me, that is one of the greatest. I mean, I get so many comments on how like the size of the pillow and how it helped them with their knee surgery or the arm or the neck or them babies. I remember going into the hospital one time taking a set of pillows to a woman who just had a baby, and her husband was sitting there with holding a newborn baby, and I said, if you take one of these pillows and put it in your lap, it's a lot easier to hold that baby on top of the pillow.
I can attest to that,
Yeah, and so, I mean, that pillow ministry, to me, is really, and oh my gosh, Emory Lumpkin has transformed that thing from making, they used to make like 10 or 12 pillows a month, and now I cannot imagine how many pillows they make, but it's a, to me, that is a real wonderful thing that our church does. And
What a wonderful way to use your gifts and artistic abilities for the glory of the Lord.
And not just in the church, but for the, you know, for the world, for witness to everybody. So
absolutely,
those are my two things that I love the most, with the shoeboxes and the pillars.
Wow.
Those are my fun memories in the church.
It sounds like there's probably several others that share those same memories
are.
With you.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. Right, because it was a big team effort, I'll tell you.
You know, with this week being Holy Week and we're leading up to Resurrection Sunday, I was wondering if there were any particular memories you might have of Holy Week services or anything that stands out in your mind over the years, that a particular message or anything that stood out to you.
Well, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, I do remember going to early services at the church, and I remember going to and the chapel going in, and they were saying, please don't bring your Easter bunnies in. But I just have so many fond memories of when my children were little in Sunday school, you know, the Easter services and all.
Yeah.
So that church has always been, I think the church has always been so good with young people. And now that I'm 86, I am seeing how the church is really reaching out to the elderly. I mean, this meal thing they're doing is just fabulous. Mm-hmm. They come by here once a week, and we have a good visit, and I just think that Chef Rich is amazing.
Yes.
And I love the daily devotions on the phone, you know. I mean, I think the media has helped. Oh, the media, that's another thing. That's just great, isn't it? What it's done for us, all.
I'm so glad that we're able to use some of the technology that we have in our everyday life and really use
it. Put it to a good use.
Right,
yeah.
Yes. Use it really to build one another up and to foster the unity of the church that way. When there's situations where we can't be together. And for really a lot of purposes is why this podcast, this show exists, is so that we can continue to hear from one another and be unified in the same spirit.
Right. And I feel so blessed. We have children around us. There are lots of our friends who don't have children living in town, which makes it harder, but they can stay in touch with each other, but we're blessed with the fact that they live near us. With the telephone, we can stay in touch, so that is good. And y'all are just doing a great job, I think. So.
Well, we are fortunate to serve one another and have so many people here that are loving and willing to go out of their way for one another.
Tell me one thing. How many members are there? Do you know about how many members in the church?
From the last that I heard, I think it is closer to 3,000.
Oh, my word. That is amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, the way I look at it, having grown up in a small church, St. John's Episcopal over on Wheat, First Pres is like a downtown church that covers miles.
Sure.
You know, it's not like a little neighborhood church. But you got people from all over, and it's a lot more difficult to keep them in touch with each other. So I think the circles do a good job as far as the women go, and got some good leadership in the church.
Well, has there been anything recently that the Lord's laid on your heart or that He's been teaching you, whether through some of the teaching of the church or whether through some things that are going on in your life?
I just remember one sermon that Derek had, and I think it was Derek was the one that said, the church has gone into the world, but the world is coming into the church. And we need to beware of that and not let them change us, you know? And we are just so blessed. I think that's my biggest concern right now, and that's why I'm so pleased with the ARP church. I mean, I think we've got to stay true and
faithful to the word.
Yeah, and we've got good teachers, and we're being aware of that. And we are right in the capital city where all this government, you get where you don't even want to turn on the television. You know, it's just, that's my prayer concern, is keeping the church pure, I guess I would say. And praying for these politicians.
Sure, absolutely. They definitely need it, and we're called to do so. I'm glad that scripture teaches us that Christ will always, He builds His church, and the Spirit always will be the guarantee of our inheritance until we fully receive that inheritance in glory. And so,
it's amazing. We're just blessed in our church. We really are, with ministers and with people like you who are working hard to keep us all together, and I'm willing to do whatever I can from home.
Well, your encouragement, your spirit, and your sharing your stories with us are definitely one way of many that you are helping to continue to build up the church.
Have a lot of happy memories. Oh, and I should say more about the Lafitte family, because you know Nell Lafitte. She was a hard act for me to follow, but I tell you what, she was a great person. And as you can tell from all the Lafitte families,
They're
a wonderful family.
Absolutely.
And they've got a good, strong history in that church, too. So, now see, they didn't grow up in Columbia like we did. So they came in, I don't know when they joined the church, but they all joined it and they're all working in it.
Yes.
They're a good family, and I'm mighty blessed with them.
As we are as well. I've briefly gotten to meet Tuck, and he's wonderful from the small moments that we've got to have some conversation.
Right, he is a good man.
Well, I would love to pray for us.
Please do.
Father, we come to you as fellow members of your body, scattered out wherever we may be. We are your remnant people, gathered in one spirit, as we were called to one hope. And we pray that as we unite in person or we unite in that one spirit from home, build us up as your body, Jesus, that we might continually look to you as our head, our shepherd, our faithful high priest. And as we come towards the end of this week and the beginning of the next in our Resurrection Sunday, that we could all sing with one voice, Hosanna, glory to the one who comes in the name of the Lord. So we pray all of these things as your people in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
Thank you so much. Amen.
You're very welcome. Thank you for joining me here and being able to share some time with everybody that gets to listen.
Oh, good. Thank you, Troy.
Thanks for listening. I'd like to leave you with this reminder from the eternal truths accounted in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed.